July 31st, 1902. Ministerial work. Ellen G. White. In all lines of ministerial work, there is need of greater earnestness. Time is passing, and work that should be far advanced is almost at a standstill. Ministers are not to spend their time hovering over churches, laboring for those who have already accepted the truth. They are to go forth to proclaim the message to those who have not heard it. They must sow the seeds of truth in fields that have not yet been sown. Work is to be done in various ways. Humble men, willing to make sacrifices, to work as Christ worked, are needed. And church members are to be taught to work in the Lord's home vineyard. It is not enough to live merely a quiet, prayerful life. Meditation alone will not answer the need of the world. We are not to be mere subjectives of religion. Vigilant waiting and vigilant working are to be combined. We are to be living, wide awake, energetic, fervent Christians, filled with zeal to give to others the blessings of the truth. We are to receive and impart light to those perishing in darkness. God's servants are to be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The lamps of the soul are to be kept trimmed and burning. People need the truth, and by earnest, faithful effort, it is to be communicated to them. Everything that can be done to save sinners should be done without delay. Souls are to be sought for, prayed for, labored for. Earnest appeals are to be made. Fervent prayers are to be offered. Our tame, spiritless prayers need to be changed to petitions of intense earnestness. God's word declares, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Wake up, my brethren, into spiritual activity. Daily reveal a determined purpose to be good and to do good. Young ministers should not be encouraged to preach to the churches. This is not their work. They are to go forth without the camp, taking up the work in places where the truth has not yet been proclaimed. Let them go in the humility and meekness of Christ, obtaining strength from the source of all strength. To every young man who desires to enter the ministry, Paul's words to Timothy are spoken. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Thyself needs the first attention. First give yourself to the Lord for purification and sanctification to his service. A godly example will tell more for the truth than the greatest eloquence unaccompanied by a well-ordered life. Trim the lamp of the soul and replenish it with the oil of the Spirit. Seek from Christ that grace, that clearness of comprehension, which will enable you to do successful work. Learn from him what it means to labor for those for whom he gave his life. The most talented worker can do little unless Christ is formed within, the hope and strength of the life. In order for the life to produce good fruit, the root must be holy. Let the young men and young women who are preparing for God's service read and study the third chapter of Colossians and the first chapter of 2 Peter, and also the following scriptures. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Young men, deal faithfully with your own souls. Seek the Lord most earnestly for grace and strength. Study the words of the Savior. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Worldly ambition, worldly plans, worldly principles are not to be brought into the life of the Christian. Christ said, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word."
Will you not remember that this prayer includes you? Will you not strive to answer it? Will you not give yourself to the Lord? Willingness of heart and earnestness of purpose to carry out the principles of true holiness will place you in such a relation to God that you will give full proof of your ministry. You will see the fruit of your labor. The heart must be brought into conformity to the will of God. As is the health of the heart, so is the religious experience and the fruit seen in the life. Few realize the guile that lurks in the natural heart. Unless the heart is cleansed from all defilement, evil will appear in the life. No one can, in truth, fulfill the requirements of God's law unless this law is written on his heart. He only who makes righteousness a part of his life is prepared rightly to estimate the truth. The truth is no truth to the one who merely makes a profession, who is not sanctified by its power, upon whose heart its image is not stamped. Such an one keeps the truth in the outer court. His love for Christ is superficial, exercising little controlling power over his reason. When young and old give careful, prayerful thought to the preparation required in order to do true service for God, a decided reformation will be seen. In the place of drinking in iniquity, the heart will be filled to overflowing with the love of Christ. The whole being will be enlisted in God's service. The affections will be set on things above. We shall respond heartily to the words of life, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Mrs. E. G. White.